Episode 40. Get out of here, Satan. What up, y'all? Back with the OGs, just me and Chris in the building today.
Yes, sir.
Holding it down.
Yes, sir.
This week, we're going to speak a lot on the suffering. We're going to speak about hardship. And as this has been kind of a heavy week, you know, we don't want to allow any of the heaviness to creep in and separate us from God. So we want to address it in the proper way, in the appropriate way that God has called us to. So let's go ahead and just pray in. So bow your head and close your eyes. Dear God, Lord, we thank you for this time, God. And Lord, we just welcome your Holy Spirit in, God. Lord, we just ask that your perfect will be done in this day and in this episode, God. Lord, use me and Chris as vessels of your light, God. Allow us to just open our hearts to you, God. Lord, allow the listeners to open the eyes of their heart to see your goodness and your love pour out on them, God. And amidst all the struggles and trial and temptation we face, God, allow us to remember the good Father you are, God. And Lord, I just pray over the Hewlett family, God. And Lord, in this moment, they're suffering, they're in pain, Lord Jesus, God. It would be real easy for them to turn away from you, God, with the loss of their two children. But Lord, I know, Lord, that your good and perfect will is always going to prevail, God. So Lord, we just pray the advancement of your will over this family, God. And Lord, we pray that this son and daughter have made it home to the Most High King, God, that they're in heaven with you in paradise, and that, Lord, that would bring comfort to their parents, God, and Lord, that they would just feel your presence cover them, Lord, they would have a hedge of protection around them, God, and that you would send angels of love and protection to them, God. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, we praise you, in your almighty name we pray, amen.
Amen.
All right, so, you know, I was just talking to Chris, and I feel like there's a lot going on, right? Life is always busy. There's always just craziness. There's always something crazy going on. So we just wanted to address the craziness because sometimes we as humans get consumed by the crazy, you know, and we let down our walls. We let down the guards that God has given us in his word and through prayer and through speaking with other believers, right? And we lean on our own will. We try to be fixers. We try to be, you know, manipulating every situation to get it to look how we want it to look, right? But in reality, we have to understand that we are not really in control of much, you know? At the end of the day, God is in full control. God is power. And like it says in the Lord's Prayer, his will is going to prevail, you know? So it's like whenever you're in these situations, it's important to constantly be in a place of surrender, you know? Turning over your will to God, trying to find that peace and serenity that he wants to give you, you know, because he hasn't called you to figure everything out. What he's called you to do is trust him, you know. In the unknown, we got to trust him. We can't have a faith that is only built on, you know, times of goodness going on in our life or when we're in the mountaintop. You know, we're called to trust him even through the valleys. And, you know, just a lot of people in my life recently have kind of been in that valley. You know, it's a dark season of their life. It's a hard season of their life. And it hurts my heart to see them going through that. But I have to remember the promise that God has made, you know, that even through the suffering, he's going to be there for us. And even through the suffering, there's something greater that is coming, you know. He's promised to do something with our trial. And all he asks us to do is to lean into him, you know. And so when I see people that are in the middle of these trials and they do the opposite and they kind of hunker down into their own ways and they try to, you know, get all swift on the Lord, trying to get away from God instead of really turning to him and looking to see what he wants them to get out of this season, it gets just a lot worse, honestly, you know. And so as I've been having people come to me and ask questions and kind of just, I don't know what's going on in my life, you know, I've got so many problems, whether that's financial or whether that's mental or whether that's with relationships or whatever the case may be, you know, it's hard sometimes because, you know, you may have been through these situations, these struggles, right? And so you want to give them the reassurance that everything's going to be okay. But you know, from being in the situation, when you're in the middle of it, it's hard to see where's the okay, you know, where's the light in the situation. What is the purpose for this? You know, we always want to question instead of trusting. And this is me speaking to myself too, you know, because a lot of times when things get tough, I'm not, you know, instantly hitting my knees. I'm kind of looking up with open hands like, why, you know, or like, God, what happened, you know? But I've been having to find discipline and train myself to think like, God, you're not doing anything to me. You know what I'm saying? I'm usually the one doing something and you're just kind of like, bro, you keep doing this. And then, you know, you turn to me and are like, what's going on, God? Where are you? You know, but he's been here the whole time. And so for those that are struggling and suffering, whatever your problem may be, one, you're not alone. And two, you shouldn't be alone. You know, trying to face these problems alone is probably the worst thing you could do. So I would encourage you to get into community, you know, to get into accountability, you know, have people around you who are going to not let you just, you know, kind of coast through and you pat you on the back for you're okay. It's going to be okay. You know, you need to get around people who are going to push you, you know, people who are going to bring conviction, you know, that are going to allow you to learn perseverance, to learn the spiritual grit we need as believers, you know, that are going to speak scripture over you. Like this week, Francis was, he had a real unapologetic type of preaching, right? He wasn't trying to give us no soft serve gospel. He wanted to give us that fast pitch, you know what I'm saying? He was bringing it to us, boom, boom, boom. You know what I mean?
Yeah, boom, boom, boom.
And that's really how we need it sometimes, you know, because kind of babying somebody through a hard time and you know, just kind of trying to be soft with them doesn't work. It doesn't really work for everybody, you know? And so that allows them to step into self-pity or, you know, step into the ways of like insecurity. And then before you know it, you're self-medicating. Before you know it, you're feeling sorry for yourself. And before you know it, you get deeper and deeper into this hole. And it's like, yeah, God's going to deliver you out of the pit. But he also wants you to see that you played a part into getting into this pit. You know, no one pushed you into the pit. A lot of times we dig the hole for ourselves and we get to the bottom. We look up and we're like, where's everybody at? Where's God? What's going on right now? And so one scripture that Francis really focused on this week that stuck out to me was 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Right? So first off, your problems are no different than anyone else's in life. You know, we all have these problems. We all have these temptations, right? But God is faithful. Always faithful, always has been, always will be. And the temptation that is brought into your life is nothing that you can't handle. You just have to choose to handle it in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, you have to have authority over these problems, authority over these thoughts and insecurities, you know, because we have been gifted the Holy Spirit. And once the Holy Spirit is within us, we now have a power that is greater than any measurable object in this world, you know. And when we are tempted, he will always show us a way out, right? So when we have we're at that split road and we have the choice to go the wrong way or the right way, he always gives us the right way that we can step to, but it's up to us to take that step, you know? That's really all he's asking for, is just for us to take a step in faith towards him, you know, to really lean into God, to look to heaven, not having an earthly mindset, but having a heavenly mindset, you know, seeing that the trials, they'll expose our true self, you know, that's who he wants. He wants the real us. Where are you going to be in these times of suffering, in these times of temptation, you know, when you can't pay the bills or when, you know, your girl leaves you? Are you going to just surrender? You're just going to, you know what I'm saying, just lay down and let it all happen to you? Or are you going to take that step of working a little harder? Or are you going to see that maybe this girl wasn't for you? Or maybe you're gonna see what God's trying to do really in the background when all your folks
Shorty
are
always be getting them.
Oh,
boys.
The always ladies getting always them. Get them, bro. That's such a heavy complaint we get from the men. And you know what I'm saying, it's like, don't you trust that God has a purpose in what he's doing?
Yes, sir.
He always does. He always has. There's always been a purpose to God's movements. You know, he's not just kind of guessing around seeing what's gonna work for you. He's literally the author of our life, you know what I mean? And we need to respect him in that way. So it's just been a lot. There's been a lot going on, you know what I mean? But we just wanted to address it, you know, in a way that hopefully, like the pastor said today, that if you feel some type of way about what we say today, that it's not us attacking you, that it's the Holy Spirit that is convicting you, because maybe you've been moving in a wrong way, you know? Maybe you haven't been stepping into the calling that God has placed on your life, and maybe you're making excuses for yourself, or maybe, you know, you're trying to hide from God and you're trying to hide from his plan and push your own plan, when in reality that's never going to work. You know, we're truly not in control. We're called to be in a place of of humility, right? A place of submission to the Lord. And sometimes it sucks, but it's always going to pay off in the long run, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, and I think definitely for me and Wally, we talk with a lot of different men as far as, like, different struggles that they're going through. And it's like, been my experience. I work with a lot of addicts and with a lot of people like that. And, like, the first two things that have to happen before we can make any progress is, right, and this is actually Christian, too. Like, John Piper says that he finds it more difficult to get somebody to admit that they need saving than it is to get them to see that they have a savior. Mm-hmm. He struggles more with the person knowing that they're so evil that they need somebody to save them. So what I say with that is, like, my biggest issue I have when working with addicts is that they're delusional. They blame usually the drugs for the problem in their life, and they have a very difficult time seeing that the real problem is themselves. And so the first thing that needs to happen before any progress can be made is that I'm the reason for all of this pain and suffering, right? That I'm the root of it. And so, like, the big argument will always be, like, well, what about when I was a kid and I was abused by my dad? Or how about when I was a kid and I was sexually molested? Or how about, you know, into, like, even maybe when you're not a kid, when you're an adult, right, and so-and-so passed away and they were really close with you? And how about, they give you a million different things about all of these different scenarios, and that's why they're in pain and suffering. In reality, those are not the reasons, right? Like, yeah, the Bible says we're gonna suffer in this world, but it's like, if the outside world is what's affecting me, that's no longer my war anymore. I have Christ Jesus. If I truly know, you know, that I'm saved and that I have this free gift that's beyond comprehension, and all because of grace and no reason because of me, and that it's always going to be there, and I'm sealed with it in the Holy Spirit, right? Like, I have a different war, I have a different kind of pain and suffering. And it's that really that brings me, you know, through, I guess, all the trials and tribulations that come up. But yeah, no, I mean, I think that first step, because that's really what we deal with the most, is, like, we cannot get people to see their own part in the suffering that they're experiencing. Mm. And that's what really needs to happen before anything else, right? And then if you get someone to that point, the next most difficult thing is getting them to actually go through with the action necessary to get over it, because it's a painful process. Yeah. It's not easy, right? Like, it's spiritual warfare, right? We talked about it last week. It's a daily battle. I think the big misconception that I was struggling with was that, okay, now God, my life's in God's hands and things should be kind of cake now. I should just be in this dopey presence of God all the time and really nothing that much will bother me, and I'm not going to have to fight the flesh. Like, I didn't think, like, I'm not going to have to fight the flesh, but I just didn't know what was to come, basically, in this warfare. And that's the other part of it, is that there is going to be this war that we wage, and it's not obviously a physical war with guns. It's like us, it's a spiritual war with prayer and scripture and fellowship with other people and with men who can lift you up. The hard part is that people don't pick those things up. And then if you're not picking those things up and you are struggling, I have nothing I can do for you. I cannot force you to do those things, right? But I can definitely say from my own experience and from the experience that I've seen in other people who do, right, fall deep into scripture and who do fall deep into prayer, right, that they do get, like, they do receive the gifts, right, they receive the rewards. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy, though. It's not, you know, nothing that I've read in the Bible is going out to say that this is going to be an easy walk. We're burning off all kinds of evil. I heard a guy speak this past week, and he said that he used to choose what he wanted to sacrifice on the altar. And he said he didn't truly have, he didn't truly get, like, this true relationship with God until he just sacrificed it all. He didn't hold back on something, right? And his main thing he was trying to say was that, like, he sacrificed everything for alcohol. Mm-hmm. So the only thing he'd hold on to was alcohol. But he put everything else up on the altar. And he literally did, right? Like, he got rid of his family and all these people, right? And it's like, it wasn't until he sacrificed everything that he was able to have, you know, the one true God, which was truly, like, the best gift that he could possibly have, right? And that's kind of what it takes, and that sacrifice is painful because we're really attached to a lot of these things. And it's a journey, right? But the end result is just, bro, it's beautiful, you know? And obviously the grace that we receive is all in God's hands. He's the one, right, who ultimately were predestined, were chosen out before the foundation of the world. It's all ultimately in his hands, right? But that doesn't mean that I just lay down and, all right, I'm predestined, so here we go, like, I'm good now. Nope, it means that I still got to take up my cross, right? That's still a verse in there. I'm still taking up my cross daily. Mm. What is it? And he said to all, whosoever should ever, dang it, bro, I'm trying to memorize it.
You got it.
It says, and he said to all, whoever would come after me, take up your cross and
die to self.
Yeah, daily. And whoever should come after me, take up your cross and deny yourself daily and follow me. Mm. It's Luke.
You got it. Don't look it up.
Dude, I'm about to, bro. You got it. Dude, I think it's Luke 13. No, I can't remember. I mean, I was close, though, dude.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it is. And I'll read it all the way. All right, so we'll see how good I did. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Luke 9:23. I was close, dude.
Good stuff.
Close. Right, so, but I'm still doing that. I'm still denying myself daily. I'm still picking up a cross. Think about Jesus picking up that cross. Jesus, you know what I mean? Yeah. Picking up that cross. It's the main idea I think that we really miss in this is that it's a voluntary thing of picking up that cross. Mm. Jesus was not forced to pick up that cross. It's basically voluntarily picking up the things that God puts on you, the cup that he hands you, right? Jesus says, take this cup from me. Ends up drinking the cup anyway, right? He voluntarily goes through with this, right? Because his love for his father and really just his divine nature, he is God, right? Wouldn't have allowed him to not do it, right? And he loved man. Mm-hmm. So he was obviously going to go through with it. But we need to have that same idea, right? It's like the love of the father and his glory is so much more important than the little bit of suffering that I'm experiencing, right? Like the little thing that God puts on my plate. Dude, it's small, especially like when you really do. I think for kids, like young people, the biggest thing is like, I was about to say his name even too, bro. I'm not even going to do that. But I got people come over to me all the time with some like really like in my perspective and your problems are your problems. You know, what God hands you is what he hands you. But I'm like, my problems aren't even that big in the grand scheme of things. When I really talk to some of these people and I really get close to them, I have to have that understanding that it's like, you know, I was joking around with this dude, Raheem, and I was like, bro, me and Wally first got spiritual, everything. We'd be like, oh, wrath of God, you know, like tripped on your way in, God's wrath. It's like, no, it's really not God's wrath. It's just life, actually. Yeah. You know, and then he came back and he's like, I know, bro. He used to always be like, I'm being persecuted. Bro, his girl broke up with him, being persecuted. You know what I mean? I was like, bro, I know what you're saying. Yeah, and it's just life sometimes. But
that's our human look on things, right? Is that when something goes wrong, or at least when we think it goes wrong, it's we're being attacked, or it's, you know, I mean, it's someone's doing us wrong, when in reality it's like this could be the first step that God's going to use to teach us the perseverance he wants us to have, right? You know, because if you never have any struggles, how are you going to learn perseverance, right? If you never suffer, how are you going to learn how to rejoice in the suffering? You know what I mean? And that's something that we just completely write off, is the idea of rejoicing in that suffering and knowing, you know, that it's not about the right now. It's about the grand scheme of things, right? And it's like if we're so focused on ourselves and the just nonsense that we're in right now, we're completely missing the purpose that God has placed on our life. You know what I mean? It's like just to use Raheem for example, if whenever his girlfriend did break up with him and, you know, his...
Which this is a lot of people. We're not just calling out Raheem. This is like 90% of what we hear about.
If your girlfriend breaks up with you, right, and you're like, I'm being persecuted, I'm done with you, Lord, how are you ever going to be able to help the next man whose girlfriend breaks up with him, right? And how are you ever going to grow through the situation? You're forever going to have bitterness in your heart. You're going to build resentment, not only to the girl, but you might even look to God and be like, how could you take the girl of my dreams away from me, you know? And that's not at all what he's doing, you know? God sees things that we can't see. God hears conversations that we are not a part of, you know? It says somewhere that he, like, sits at tables that we're not at, you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, you know, God has chosen you. So why would he put you, you know, into that place of being around people who don't even love you or value you. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's our job to learn these things, to learn the discernment, to understand that our will and God's will are very different, right? And God's will is perfect, and our will is skewed, right? It's biased. It's what we think is best. And it's not denying ourselves. It's choosing ourselves over choosing God and choosing to help others, choosing to serve the Lord and serve others, you know what I mean? There's a lot of days where I don't think of, you know, denying myself and picking up the cross. There's a lot of days where I think, I'm going to choose me, and I'm going to pick up whatever brings me happiness today, whatever makes me feel a little bit better, whatever's gonna kind of numb all this craziness that's going on in my life. And what happens every time I do that, every time I pick the thing over the cross, I end up running back to the cross in a place of repentance, you know, in a place of feeling like shame and guilt and all this stuff. And it's like, if I would have just picked up that cross, you know, and truly tried to deny myself, you know what I mean, I would have just been a little bit closer to the Lord. You know what I mean? And that's such a problem in this world today, is the running away from God, or, you know, I'm looking for the Lord when he's not even lost. You know what I'm saying? He's right here with us. And we just are closing our eyes and, you know what I'm saying, and not seeing the beauty that he's working in our life, you know? And it's like, we're not taking responsibility, like Chris was saying, you know, we're not looking to his word for guidance. We're not even praying about a lot of things because we can't even, you know, get the words out, right? Because it could, some things in life are hard, and some things do bring us so much pain that it's hard to even speak on, right? But it's like, that's when we got to trust in the word and know that in those times when we can't pray, the Spirit intercedes on our behalf, and the Spirit sends prayers to God, you know what I mean, and covers us, right? So it's not so much pressure on us, you know. The only pressure is to what Chris said, deny yourself and pick up that cross, you know, not to have a pity party, not to sit here in misery, you know. It's truly to surrender to his plan over our plan. And that's just such a hard topic to speak on, really, because if you know, if you're in that place, like, I know when I was in that place of like, nah, the world got me messed up and God got me messed up, it, all this talk just sounded like nonsense. It sounded like a bunch of mumbo jumbo, you know what I'm saying? It was like, you guys are just throwing around this God stuff all willy-nilly, but what about right now?
Willy-nilly, John Piper,
shout out John Piper.
He loved that willy-nilly.
He loved willy-nilly. But it's like, okay, I understand that you guys have your faith, and that's really good. That's really cool for you. I'm glad you have that. But what about me? I don't have any faith. All I have is pain right now, and all I have is pretty much nothing. But in reality, it's like, when you have nothing, when you have a clean slate, you know, when it's just you, that creates this desperation, right? And that desperation can be our biggest blessing sometimes, because when we're in the place of true desperation, where it's like fight or flight, and we choose to fight, this spiritual battle we've been called to, that's when the most growth comes, you know. After the fight, you are going to feel so close to God, because, you know, you realize like, dang, I went through some stuff that I definitely could not endure on my own, but the Lord has covered me, you know. The Lord has done for me what I can't do for myself. And once, you know, you get to the other side, or even you're like halfway there, that's when you start to realize, that's when your eyes start to open up, your heart starts to open up, and you can feel, you can see, you know what I'm saying? Other people are telling you like, dang, God is really moving. God is really working in your life. God is doing something with this trial you're in. And at the beginning, you would have been like, nah, no way. God's not doing nothing right now. If anything, I'm getting God's wrath, you know, like me and Chris used to talk about. But in reality, it's like, no, who are we to say what God's wrath is? You know, our human conception of God's wrath is nonsense. God is so great, we cannot understand what his wrath is until the day of judgment, when we are judged by fire, right? When Jesus walks back onto this earth, and some people are going to get lit up, you know? I pray that I don't. I'm, you know what I'm saying? But we'll see. We'll see what happens. But that wisdom, it comes in to the point where it's like, the pastor was talking about today the difference between wisdom and knowledge, right? And you could not really know what's going on. You could have no knowledge of what's going on. But when you seek God for the wisdom on how to approach situations, that's when, you know, you're making progress, because then you're not doing things in your way. You're doing it his way. And that's what James 1:5-8 says. It says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. And I see that every day, and it sucks, you know. I see that so much in the church. I see that so much in my community, right? I see it in myself. I see that when I look in the mirror, you know what I mean? Because I have people in my life who are so one foot in, one foot out, right? They're like, there for God when it's good. And then when it's not good,
lukewarm Christianity,
which is the worst place to be. That is the worst play to be.
God's gonna spit you out.
Yeah, he's like, this food sucks.
Yeah.
But whenever you, like it says, when the loyalty is divided, right, you shouldn't expect to receive anything from the Lord. You know what I mean? Because it's like, if you're praying for true wisdom, if your heart's truly dedicated to him, he's going to teach you. You know what I mean? How do you get wisdom? You're taught. You know what I mean? A lot of times whenever I pray for obedience or I pray for a softened heart, you know, God gives me opportunities. He gives me opportunities to show if I'm really wanting to be obedient or if I'm just kind of sending out that Hail Mary, you know, that little like, God, please help me. So it's like an example of that in my life looks like when I pray for obedience, right? I got a few examples because I do be praying for that. I ask the Holy Spirit to lead me and help me to be obedient to where the Holy Spirit leads me, right? Pretty much every morning. And so pretty much every day I get the opportunity to be obedient or disobedient, right? And so one of the examples is like when I'm at the shop, when I'm at work, I finish a cut, right? I got, let's say, 15 minutes where I could sit back and watch, you know, some TV or scroll on my phone or whatever. I got 15 minutes where I could go get in the Bible. You know what I mean? And when I choose the TV, oh boy, I'd be sitting there just feeling convicted the whole time. I feel like I'm doing wrong. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, dang, I'm just like, nah, God, I'm good right now. I think this is going to really bring me more pleasure than you, you know? And that's the thoughts that I get versus whenever I go out to the car and I just devote that 15 minutes to the Lord. You know what I'm saying? It's always something like, I always send Chris a picture. Crystal, now that I said this, Crystal, no. If I had that choice or not, because it's like when I'm reading scripture, something crazy, something that's like really good or
crazy.
That's just like out of, it's just, it don't,
there
it's
was
crazy.
A really crazy one.
I sent him some crazy stuff this week, but it's always so like, it's revelations. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm being renewed every time I choose God, right?
God's revealing himself.
Yeah.
Like
he's every day fire, he's revealing himself to me. And I'm like, dang God, how can I keep, you know, choosing the TV over you when you just want to reveal yourself to me more and more? And then sure enough, the next day I'm right there back in that chair, like 15 minutes, what should I do? And you know, that's where the obedience comes in right there. Or, you know, as men, you know, this is a big one. I'm sure any dudes or even ladies, I'm sure they'd be seeing some stuff like this. You go on Instagram and it's innocent, you know what I'm saying? You're just trying to see what these pastors talking about or see what your buddy posted. And then all of a sudden, something...
booty! Yeah, every time.
Something you shouldn't be looking at pops up. And it's up to you.
You go deeper.
It's up to you. You have to make the choice to either turn off your phone, get off Instagram, or to dive deeper, to go deeper into the pit. And once you get deeper and deeper into that pit, it leads to other things, right? And those other things is not of God. It's not denying yourself. It's choosing yourself, and it's picking up, you know, that phone instead of picking up your cross. You know what I'm saying? So those are just some things that I notice in my life where, you know, I ask for the wisdom, right? And God gives me the opportunity to be wise, to be obedient, you know, to be truthful. And it's honestly, it's up to me. So we always have a choice, right? That's the thing that we're doing. We're not making the choice to be of God. We're not making the choice to accept his will. We're just floating around, right? And we're floating around, we're bouncing off the walls, we're doing all this stuff, right? And then we're surprised when we get all dinged up, when life starts beating us up. But when we're not making any choices that are of the Lord, what do you expect? You know what I'm saying? That's like giving a blind man no blind stick. He's not going to know where he's going. He's going to keep bumping around into stuff till he wander into traffic and then probably get hit by a car, right? That's what we are. We're a blind man with no blind stick. But God has given us the stick. It's in his word, right? It's in community. It's in prayer. And we just have to choose it. It's the choice, right? It's the constant choice of, am I going to choose freedom? Am I going to choose joy? Am I going to choose the fruits of the Spirit? Or am I going to choose to be defined by this world and whatever this world throws at me, right? Am I going to let the girl who broke my heart define the next 2 years of my life? Am I going to let getting laid off from this job send me into being homeless, sending me having to move back in with my parents, sending me into a place of depression, right? Am I going to choose to be anxious, or am I going to choose to be faithful? You know, it's the choice, right? God is in the choice. And when we're choosing him, it's going to take time, you know, and you're going to not choose him sometimes, but you're going to start to realize, wow, it's a lot better when I choose him than when I don't. So start choosing that godly wisdom. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's fire. I'll just say real quick, Raheem did act faithfully. So he did it. He did.
Praise God.
Praise God. Praise Hallelujah. God. Yeah.
Finally, did somebody did.
Yeah, yeah. Good job. Praise God. God's grace. Uh-huh. Help Raheem. Good stuff.
He's a good dude.
He's a good dude. That's Raheem, a good dude right good there. Good dude,
bro. For real. Very proud of you.
Yeah, I'm grateful that God gave us Raheem for sure. But I think that'll just, I just kind of want to touch more on the sacrifice thing. It's a perspective that I didn't used to see, because I'd read, like, oh, they sacrifice, like, lambs and goats or whatever. Mm. We don't sacrifice anymore. That was my mindset.
Ooh.
No longer are we sacrificing. That's a thing of the Old Testament.
Mm.
It's not true. You do sacrifice. It talks about it in Hebrews. Right? Today, though, like, what does my sacrifice look like? And that's kind of what Wally's talking about. For me, right, and this is just for me, this isn't scriptural, but for me it's like I had to realize I sacrificed social media. I used to love scrolling, doom scrolling, but I realized that I was only getting negative, not good things from it. It wasn't godly. It wasn't bringing me closer to God. It wasn't glorifying God in any way. So I deleted social media, and it was tough because it's like the first thing I used to do in the morning is I'd wake up, grab my phone to start scrolling. It'd be the first thing I'd do in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so putting it away, I'd like have that habit, and then I had to fight it like every morning for a while. And now it's not so bad anymore. Praise God. He took that from me. Right? You can sacrifice that girl, right? If that girl's unhealthy for you, if she's not bringing you closer to Christ, sacrifice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of her. And that's a hard, painful experience, right? Anyone who's been through a breakup knows that's difficult. It's not an easy choice to make.
Yeah.
Well, what is your primary purpose? You know what I mean? You're here for the glory of God. You're here for helping other people, right? To be a person of love and care. And if you're not getting that out of the woman, right? Cut her off.
Boom.
Boom. Right? Sacrificing TV. Well, I talked about sitting there. He's like, I got 15 minutes. What do I do? Do I read my scripture? It's like, if you're really struggling with TV, sacrifice the TV. You know, you go so far into it, you know, from very deep sins, right, sexual sins, to just things that we no longer kind of look at as, like, sin anymore, you know. You can even sacrifice, like, even sacrificing your sin, you know, maybe I'm a liar, right? I don't actually tend to lie too much. I do lie, but it's not.
I rebuke that, Chris.
Yeah, I haven't had, God hasn't touched me in the heart yet to where I'd, like, it's something I need to be repent about and be very mindful of. But, right, so then, like, that's another thing you could sacrifice, right? I'm not going to lie anymore, and that's going to be tough because if you lie all the time, it's going to be tough. Yeah. Right, and so there is sacrifice we have to make, and it's a sacrifice is always tough, right? Just like a sacrifice back then was tough, right? They're giving up the thing that they're going to eat or the thing that's, you know, giving them money. Like, that was their trading, their barter. Barter?
Barter, yeah.
That's when you trade.
Good right? word.
Good word. Good word. And so, right, it's still, like, the sacrifice was still tough, but it was, like, it wasn't really tough because it was, they're giving it to God. So it was so much, that's why, you know, you hear about the sacrifice of Cain and Abel, that Abel's sacrifices were pleasing to God and Cain's weren't.
Mm.
And I talked about last week that maybe they were sacrificing the same exact things. Maybe not, I don't really know, right? But maybe the heart posture was different. Maybe Abel was very happy to be sacrificing because it was God that he was giving it to. Right, and he was he was living in the glory of God and then the love of God and really enjoying him and all of his power and all of his wrath, right? Loving every part of God, and so when he sacrificed, it was like a good thing. You know, I feel like that's really the place that we come to, right? Just sacrificing because I know who God really is. I know that he died on a cross for me and I didn't deserve it. And it was a free gift that I never, ever should have had, right? And then whenever it's like, should I watch TV or should I read scripture? I should definitely read scripture because what it, you know, I want to be closer to that. I want to glorify that. I want to live in him. I don't want to live in the world, you know? Yeah. And you pull off. One thing Wally said too is like tough criticism. Personally believe that it's tough criticism because your tone of voice and how you say things go a long way. If it's the truth hurts, right? But if you can really, like, I'll give this example. It was one time Mateo and Vic, it was me, Mateo, Vic, Wally, Nick, we were doing a Bible study, and Mateo did the coolest thing I ever seen. Like Vic was kind of like talking about some of the struggle he was having, and Mateo just pulled out his Bible, handed it to him, and made him read it. So Mateo wasn't, you know, directing him in any way or doing anything like that. It was literally the word of God.
Yeah.
And he just hands him the word of God and says, you know, read this. The truth hurts, right? So you might read it. You might be like, oh, I don't like the conviction from that. We get that a lot from reading scripture. We get convictions. We get, you know, we realize we need to repent over something that we maybe didn't know before. And it's, you know, a new spiritual battle, right? But the truth does hurt, but it sets you free, yeah. Right? You become closer to God. You get the true beauties of this life. You get to be at peace and at home, right? Like the thing I read last week is, at first all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later yields the peaceful peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Hey, man. That was all, dude. I got my ass Hebrews. Yeah, trying to learn scripture, dude, is bro fried my memory with a lot of Xanax. Woo! Yeah. Xanax cooked my memory, but you know what? Praise God, he's restoring it.
Amen.
God is good. That's a miracle. If you don't believe in miracles, dude, that was a miracle in itself that I can't even remember anything.
Amen to that, bro.
Yeah.
Amen to that.
Right, but that verse really, right, he's just saying, like, yeah, becoming disciplined is a painful experience. And, like, your dad, when you're growing up, if you had a dad or, like, whoever raised you, your grandparents, your mom, whatever, right, whoever raised you, right, they disciplined you when you did something bad and it was painful at first, but later, what is it? It yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. It's you learn, and then that's how you learn. So, you know, there's so much, I think, to pain and suffering that we don't realize how good it is that we get to have it, because in the end, God knows all things, even if we don't understand. God knows all things, and so your pain is not meaningless. And I think that was the worst part for me for the longest time, was that all of my pain and suffering was meaningless to me. I didn't have God in my life, and that's what it brings no hope, and it just makes everything seem worse. But when you enter God into the equation, and my pain has actual meaning, and that it's actually, I can come to the conclusion that it's divine providence, right? That it's not actually just even, you know, well, this is just the world, that it's actually God doing it, allowing it to happen, knowing that it's happening, but knowing that there's a bigger plan or there's something else, there's a reason that it's happening.
Yeah.
I can sit back and I can glorify God for my struggles, and then I can go ahead and I can pick up that cross and really walk with it, you know, just knowing that I have a good God, right? That's been a big thing. Like, I praise God for that. That this week, like, through any type of pain, I just kept coming back to, like, I'm a big sinner. Like, this was my whole week's spiritual growth, was like, I'm a major sinner. God, why are you so good? God, you're so good. Like, I just kept thinking that, and, like, my heart was just, like, rejoicing over how good God is, even through all of my sin throughout this past week.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, my goodness. Like, it was the most beautiful thing ever. It was just, even through all that pain, so I've really, like, because I've talked about it a lot, but really God revealed it to me in a way that it actually touched my heart, where it's like, this world is completely evil, right? And I have a lot of evil, and the people I'm around have a lot of evil, but that God is actually really good. That's why he sent his son, that he actually loves us. You know, he really does have that love for us. And that, you know, I don't know, dude, when you really start meditating on the cross and, like, really come to this belief that Jesus Christ is God, and that Jesus Christ is 100% man, that he actually knows all of your pain. I'll do that real quick, and then I'll let, because Wally's got something. Also in Hebrews, something that was showed to me is that, like, they're talking about the high priest, Jesus being our high priest, that he actually knows all of our pains, right? That he's just like the high priest before, like, they accept that they were sinners, and Jesus isn't a sinner, but that he actually was tempted just as we were, right? He was tempted the same way that we were tempted, and he actually obviously went through the same pain, if not maybe way more, because imagine being completely perfect and being tempted by sin, because he humbled himself into the form of man, to where he wasn't, he's still God, right, but he wasn't in that spiritual realm, right? So he's in he still has the flesh that can be tempted now. He humbled himself, made that choice to come into the flesh and humble himself to where he could be tempted, right? Made that choice. Can you imagine being perfect God who created all of this stuff and he's now being tempted by the devil? That's a rough going of it. But it was because, right, now when I pray to God, it's not like I'm praying to a God who's holy, completely set on, like, you know, I'm not just praying to a God, though, who's, like, so perfect and so beyond my realm as far as, like, I'm praying to Jesus Christ, who actually knows when I say, like, God, I'm in so much pain, take this cup from me. That is his line, right? I can say, take that cup from me, right? And Jesus 100% knows. It doesn't mean he's going to take it from me. Obviously, we see that. Jesus literally went through that. Cup was not taken, right? But not my will, that I be done. Like, I voluntarily pick up that cup anyway because I know it's his will and I know he's good, right? But then I'm not just praying through my pain and suffering. I'm praying to a God who actually knows what I'm going through. Can you imagine? I always just think about that. Like, just think about Jesus, and he's literally saying, take this cup from me. And it's not like he's just saying it so that it could go into the Bible so that I could be like, oh, he's kind of like me. He literally was on his knees bleeding, sweating blood. Mm. Like, take this cup from me, please. Like, I don't want to do this. Like, I don't want to do this. Like, I know what I'm about to do. It's going to hurt. It's going to suck. It's going to be painful. It's going to be suffering. But not my will, yours be done. Mm. Completely understands when I'm in that position where it's like, I can't take this. I can't do this. Praise God. That's so beautiful. He is a good God. And he went through with it because of his love for you and me, because he knew that I wasn't going to be able to do that for myself.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen, dude.
That's good.
That was fire.
Holy Spirit took over at the end there. Yeah. I didn't know what I was going to say, bro, coming in here today. Man. So
yeah, no.
Yeah.
That's amazing, bro. I love how you brought up the sacrifices, right? Because that was a huge problem I was having when I first started reading the Old Testament. Was like,
rough numbers.
Oh, bro. I texted Chris every day. I was like, Old Testament sucks. Sorry, yeah. God. But I was like, this is trash, dude.
Oh, but you know what? Because you did say this and actually helped me a lot. Tell me what you said, though, you were praying whenever you were reading it.
Oh, I would just pray. I was like, God, you know, I'm just going to be honest with you. I really don't like this. And I'm really trying to keep reading it because I know you put it in here for a reason.
Praise God.
And yeah. I know that you are going to reveal something to me through this text. You know, like, it wasn't an accident that he put the Old Testament in there, you know, because I just had come fresh out the New Testament, right? And what is the New Testament? It's all this love and it's all this forgiveness and grace and mercy being poured out. It's Jesus healing people. It's people getting to be literally in physical contact with Jesus. And then I'm in this Old Testament where it's like Jesus hasn't even been there yet, you know what I'm saying? And so it's a lot of wrath and it's a lot of sacrifices, a lot of these practices that are going to get you to God instead of just God being here with us, right? And so going into the sacrifices like you were talking about, I'm so glad you said that, because that's something I've been kind of thinking about this week too, was the act of sacrifice, you know, like surrendering things to God because they're already his. You know what I mean? It's like, who am I to try to hold on to these things? Who am I to try to hold on to my finances when God has already provided for me in such a special way? Who am I to try to hold on to, you know, my wife and my baby and all this stuff, right? When they're really God's, you know, and he has just given me the blessing of being a part of their life and a part of their story, right? And so when you start saying, you know, like, if that girl's not good for you, you know, leave her at the cross, you know what I mean? Give her to the Lord and ask him for the wisdom on how to, you know, how to go about this situation and how to find the freedom, you know, to break those soul ties that you have with that girl or with that guy, right? And that just made me think about the Ten Commandments. And the first two commandments is literally, you shall have no other gods before me and you shall not make idols, right? And that's what we can do. We can make people, places, or things into gods in our life, right? We can almost worship them. If there's a lady in your life and you go to her every day because she makes you feel good and she makes you feel at peace, you feel safe and comfortable, right? You, with time, you're going to start kind of worshiping her, right? You're not going to feel right if you don't see her every day. If you like to drink, you know what I'm saying? If you don't get that drink in you, and within a few hours, you start to get all irritable, you start to get all discontent. You start to feel all crazy, right?
Shaking.
If you're on drugs, dude, you're fiending. You're fiending out.
Yeah, you fiend out.
You know what I'm saying? And so there's idols. These things that we put before God, right? And all God wants to do is to be before everything, right? And that's what King Solomon was talking about. And what book was that?
Samuel?
No.
Solomon is Kings and Chronicles.
Is it Chronicles?
Where he was saying Solomon,
like, anything without God in the front of it is pointless, right? You know what I'm talking about? That's in the Old Testament. It was early.
Chronicles and Kings is though.
What was I reading? I gotta find that. Hold on, give me 1 second. Loading.
Because
that really opened my eyes too. It's like I'm trying to do all these things right in life. I'm trying to have a business that is going to provide and that's going to be sustainable for my family. But if I don't put God before this business and this money or even this family, you know what I mean? It's kind of pointless, right? And so if you got all these things in your life that are like, I'm good with God as long as I got X, Y, and Z, it's like we need to remove that X, Y, and Z. And it's like, I'm good without X, Y, and Z as long as I have God, right? And so it's like, for me, I had to see that in someone else's life before I could experience it in my life, right? So before my wife was my wife, right, she broke up with me. And because I was so just messed up, I was just a messed up dude, right? I was so just wrong in so many ways, and I couldn't see it. And she had to
Rastaman Wally.
I had to step away, you know, or not even, I didn't want to step away. I was trying to step to her when she was trying to, you know, get away from me to truly pursue the Lord, right? And she knew that if I was there, I was kind of a roadblock, or I guess an idol maybe even in her life. And so she had to have the faith and the courage to, you know, step away from me, trusting that if it is in God's will that we would come back together, right? And when that happened, what did I do? I was like telling everybody, I'm like, man, this girl tripping, bro. I was amazing to her, you know what I'm saying? I bought her this, and I took her here, and I took her there. What did I leave out, though? You know, all the nights where she was up until 5 a.m. when I was God knows where, you know what I'm saying, drunk out of my mind, geeked out, doing all this crazy stuff, you know what I mean? What did I leave out? The way that I was kind of just probably mean to her, not even knowing, you know what I mean? Probably said some bad stuff to her, probably causing a lot of stress and a lot of just craziness in her life. And she's such a great woman that it's like she trusted in the Lord enough to let me go, right? And when she let me go, I was able to see all these things, right, that I was putting before God. 1 being her, 2 being alcohol, 3 being drugs, 4 being the club, you know what I'm saying? The list goes on, right? And all these things that I was finding fulfillment in, I was finding satisfaction in, right? I had to clean slate, wipe these things out of my life, you know what I'm saying? With the help of the church and with the help of Chris and my other brothers in Christ and in recovery, right? And I had to let these things go to see my part, you know? And nothing changed until I saw my part, because I was the victim, you know? I had been done wrong. I couldn't understand why she would leave me. I'm such a great dude, right? You know, I took this girl to Disney World regular, you know what I'm saying?
Swiping that plastic.
What? Swiping that thing, boy.
Sure.
And it wasn't until, you know, it was just me and God that I was able to truly thank him for removing these things from my life and seeing all the ways I was wrong and all the things I was putting in front of him. And that's where I found the peace, you know. That's where I found the wisdom to somewhat see. I wouldn't say understand because I didn't get it, but I could somewhat see what God was doing, right? And it took a long time, and it took a lot of hard work. It took intensive prayer. It took intensive work in recovery and also in the church, you know, constantly being of service, constantly doing my best to help another person. Even just being open with my story and being open with what's going on in my life was able to bring light to others, you know. And being able to bring light to others when you feel no light, you know, when you feel so dark, is such a beautiful thing, right? Because then what did it do? It opened doors for other men and, you know, not really, I didn't really talk to any ladies about it, you know what I'm saying? Maybe a few of my clients, yeah, actually. So just being able to just open some doors for them to have a safe place to come and vent, but not get what is the word? Not get pity, but get guidance, you know, and guidance that's not of me or of this world, you know, guidance that is straight out of the word of God, you know, and guidance that's actually going to make a difference in someone's life, you know. And it's like today, it's like I can hear someone's struggles and I can see the beauty in it, even though they can't, right? And I, because of my experience now, can help them in some way, you know, that I wouldn't have been able to before. Because before, if somebody came in the shop and they was like, man, my girl broke up with me, man, what you doing tonight? Let's go out. Forget that girl, bro. You get a new girl. I'll find a new girl. Or it was like, man, I can't make no money. I'm struggling. I'm broke. I'm like, bro, get some dope, bro. Sell some dope. Do something. You know what I'm saying? Do something to stop complaining. You know what I mean? But now,
sell some dope.
Something. You gotta do something.
Start pimping.
What? Do something, dude. But today it's like, okay, you don't have any money. I got resources now, where I have, you know, clients or friends who can give people work, right? I can try my best to extend a helping hand, but it's up to them to grab onto that helping hand, right? You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people will have a beautiful opportunity right in front of them, and they'll turn it down because they're depressed. They'll turn it down because they've given up. They'll count themselves out of the fight, you know, when the fight just began. You know what I mean? And that's so painful to see. That self-sabotage we get caught up in, you know, because right when, I'm not going to lie to you, right when, you know, me and my wife did have that little breakup, did I run to the Lord? No. What I do, I ran to Miami, I ran to Vegas, I ran it up, dude. But after still seeking that validation, that fulfillment in the world and not finding it, that's when I realized, okay, this stuff's not helping, so it's got to be God, you know? And it's all by his grace that I was even able to have that thought, because in no way did I even deserve to be able to find God, right? But he had covered me. You know, the seed had been planted when I was a child that God is for me. He's not against me. That he doesn't count the wrongs I do. You know, he just wants me to come to him, you know, come to him with everything I've got. And just by his love, you know, I was able to come into a beautiful church where, you know, the people accepted me, where the people took me in and just walked hand in hand with me through this season of my life that was, you know, pretty tough, you know what I'm saying? But even when I couldn't walk, they was carrying me, you know, a lot of nights just with Chris, just, you know what I'm saying, just kind of
down bad,
dude. It was honestly rough in the beginning. Oh man, it was rough.
That's how the podcast started though.
Yeah, but that's, look at it now, you know what I'm saying? And I remember the whole time in the midst of the struggle, my mom would tell me every day, one day you're going to look back on this and you're going to be so grateful. You're going to be so grateful that God gave you this opportunity, right? And I would tell my mom, like, nah. I was like, Mom, you're tripping. I was like, there's no way. Why would I ever be grateful for this? I'm in the most pain. You know, I'm depressed. I'm this, I'm that. I'm struggling, all this stuff. And then today, the moment I face adversity, the first thing I think of is those times, of those dark times. And I thank the Lord above for those times, because it has now given me, you know, the grit, you know, the perseverance, the courage to try my best, you know what I'm saying, to walk this road that God has laid out before me. And that mindset only comes through walking in the suffering, you know. And I wasn't rejoicing for a while, but then when I was able to find peace through prayer, when I was able to know that when I would talk to God, he was listening, there's no greater source. There's no greater peace in the world. You know, when I was able to pray for her and thank God for her leaving me and thank God for just her life and her faithfulness and pray blessings over her instead of just being sitting over here listening to Rod Wave being like, man, I hate this girl.
Rod Wave.
This girl done ruined my life, man.
That was all girls are the same.
That's breakthrough, bro. That is the Holy Spirit moving in you. You know, when you have thoughts and when you do stuff you never thought you would do, that is the Holy Spirit doing for you what you can't do for yourself. So it's so important to get out of the excuses, get out of the pity party, and step into action, right? My brother Vic, God bless his soul. Love that man. He is constantly struggling, constantly suffering, right? But what does he do? He keeps faith, right? And he acts, he moves, he puts his feet to the ground and does something, right? And he told me, which a lot of people say he didn't come up with this, but he said you cannot think your way into right action, but you can act your way into right thinking, right? And so when we get to moving, when we start being doers of the word, what is it? What did your mom say? What is it?
Stop,
shout out, mom. When we stop,
she said, she told me I'm a human doing, not a human being.
Oh,
but then now we go against the I be doing, ma.
Mom,
I be doing,
mama. He doing it, all right.
He doing good.
Yeah. Be proud of your son. He doing it. But when we start doing it, we stop complaining about it. When we trust it, that's when we are renewed, transformed. When we are redeemed, and that's when we can feel it, right? Other people are going to see it way before you. But don't let this season of struggling and suffering separate you from God. Give it, make it the reason that you run to God, you know? Amen.
Amen. And we're about to lose battery here, but I just real quick wanted to say something that, just from what you just said, that, you know, dude, literally just forgot what I was about to say.
Nice.
No.
Shout out Xanax. No.
This podcast is sponsored by Alprazolam. Dude, what is it you were saying? Oh, okay, yeah, there we go. No, I was like, because you were talking about if I had A, B, and C, and then God, like, I'd be okay. Mm. Like, for me, it was like, praise God, he put me through, like, the most humiliating, humbling, it wasn't even a season. I wasn't even a church season. I do air quotation. Seasons is so stupid, bro. I hate that. I don't like that word, dude. Life is just suffering, so get used to it.
That's a horrible mindset, dude.
Bro, it's real life, bro. Dude, everyone I talk to, they're always suffering.
All right, but what is the opposite of joy?
Rejoicing in the suffering.
No, it's not the opposite of joy, bro. That is joy.
Joy is rejoicing in
the
suffering. So
the
life
opposite
is suffering,
of joy
man.
Is despair in the suffering. Shout out John Piper.
So then life
you
would
were in
still,
despair.
Life would still be suffering then.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it sucks. Doesn't mean you can't find joy, bro.
That's not what
Come
I
on,
said.
Dude.
I didn't say that.
That's
bro.
What it sounded like, bro. All
right, Wally. All right.
Don't put a dark cloud,
bro,
over these people's life, brother.
Dude. All right. I didn't mean anything.
We're bringing hope. We're bringing light. But we're
anyway,
also bringing truth.
All right, but anyway, so what I was going to say is, like, I had nothing coming, like, into Christ, and probably the happiest I'd ever been was when I had nothing. Is that?
Mm.
She should have let me finish, bro.
Amen.
Yeah. But I had nothing, so it was, like, all my reliance, all my dependence. It was, like, God, you can have all of me. I'm nothing without you.
Mm.
Was the exact mindset. It was the most beautiful time of my life. And, you know, you start getting stuff, but it's even now. It's, like, now that I have stuff, I always think, like, God, if anything, I just can't lose you.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the one thing I can't not have. If I lost everything else, God, it'd be okay. But if you left, right, all this stuff becomes meaningless. And that's really what you get a lot of from Ecclesiastes. It's like, you could have the whole world given to you, but it's for what reason?
Mm-hmm.
It's all perishing. It's all going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's really, like, what's the one thing that's infinite? And it's God. That's the thing that's going to be, that's always been here, that'll always be here, is outside the scope of time. Right, not even in time, just existing, being, right, being itself forever. So, yeah, I know that's where we need to run. That's basically the theme of the podcast, is we're all down bad, but if you live in Christ and all of what's going on in the world, you're really just okay at the end of the day. You're just happy that he went to the cross for us and that we do get to, you know, be with him forever, and that's really all he wants, is just to be with you. So it's like, if, you know, unless you're Job part two, if that's your life, you're just a gamble between Satan and God. Tough, but still, even he came out on top, right?
Yeah, you'll be
God
rewarded.
Way crazy wisdom, like,
yeah.
Freaking dumb close to God, like, still came out, you know, winning, you know. So it's like, no matter what you're going through, dude, God's definitely got a plan, but you got to trust in God's plan.
Mm.
You really got to give your life over to him and just take up that cross, right? Voluntarily take up that cross and walk with it.
Yeah. And if you stuck in for this 58 minutes and you're still listening,
you're still down bad.
And you're still.
You're done.
No.
No.
If you're still, you know, losing your peace to people or to things, you know, I pray that you would be convicted. You know, I pray that truly it would open your eyes, and that feeling that you're feeling right now, that it would cause you to get into action, that it would cause you to sit down and and think about some things, to pray about some things, to meditate on what the priorities are in your life, you know. And if there's a money, or if there's a person, or if there's a substance that is ruling you right now,
sacrifice.
We want you to find the freedom that we have found, you know, and that only comes through sacrifice. So God has called us to be willing, right, to make ourselves available to him. So be willing to make that sacrifice, you know. And if God has helped you out by taking those things away from you, you know what I'm saying? If you are sitting here listening to this and you are single, not by choice, or if you're in rehab, not by choice, or maybe even prison, not by choice.
Gotcha.
Maybe, you know.
Who's listening to this in prison?
Hey, if you listen to this in prison, shout out.
Yeah, that's.
Shout out.
Nice,
we love you.
Appreciates that.
And God is not done with you. And if you're in your own prison, if you've built yourself up, stuck yourself in your house, you won't get out, you won't listen to nobody, God's not done with you, you know? Look at what he did through Paul and all Paul's time in prison, right? And that's what we do as humans, right? We build up these prison walls for ourselves, and we choose to stay stuck in them, you know? But if Paul could, and Peter and all them boys could pray the walls of that prison down, and in Acts, you know, in that story where, I think it was it Paul or was it Peter? Where they were in the prison, and they were praying and worshiping
Timothy
so loud.
Paul.
Timothy and Paul?
Yeah.
They were in the prison. They were worshiping so loud that the walls. Guard? Yeah, oh, yeah. That the whole wall, the whole thing just fell apart, right?
Yeah.
And that's what it takes, right? God is not dead. Stop acting like it. Through praise, worship, through gratitude, those walls will come down and you will see what God is doing and how God is moving. So get to it.
That's it.
Get to it. You wanna pray out, or you want me to pray out?
Yeah, I can pray out.
Pray it out.
I might die halfway through, but God's will.
Please, Lord.
God, we thank you so much for this time that we got to spend together. God, we pray for anybody listening that they would come to you, God, that they would run to you, that they could be saved, that they could have the same grace that me and Wally have received and that so many others have received. God, I pray that they would be able to see their sin, that they'd be fully convicted by it, and truly see how little they are in the scope of a grand, beautiful, holy Creator. That they'd be able to run at him full speed, knowing that he loves them and that he craves relationship with them, that the reason he sent his son to die on that cross was so that he could have that relationship with them, and that it's not in vain, and that it's for a reason. God, I pray for those who are in pain and who are in suffering right now. God, that, you know, keep them there, honestly, if it's your will. You know, just help them, guide them through it, right? Bring them through it. Whatever it is, God, that your perfect will is, let it prevail. Let it be fully on all men and women, right? That they find that cross that is theirs, that they pick it up and they voluntarily walk with it, knowing that it's for your holy glory, God, that it's because of you, right? And that any pain and suffering that we do have, that it is divinely inspired, right? That it's a divine intervention, that it is there for a reason, that it isn't divine, it's divine providence is what it is, God, that there is a point to it all, right? And that the pain and suffering isn't for no reason. God, just help us to fight through these hard times and these hard battles that we do come across, and let it all be to glory of you, God, so that your name can reign throughout all the nations, so that we can fully, so the world can see actually how truly holy you are, God. And I just want to pray for the church as well, God, that we become united. You say in Acts, right, that's how we'll know that Jesus Christ, you know, is who he is, right, is through the church, through the body, God. So I just pray for the body, God, that we are one, that we stay as one, so that people who are not in the church can look at us, can see something holy about us, can see that we are different, and they can come to believe in Christ Jesus as well. God, I praise you and I thank you. I praise you. I thank you for your word. I thank you so much for your word, God, the fact that I get to read it. I pray for those in countries where they can't read your word and they don't have access to it. God, I pray for those people that you do continue to watch over them, and that you continue to grow them closer to Jesus Christ. Can't wait to see you in heaven. I love you. Amen.
Amen. Nice.